Hi, this is JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Here at UK Health Radio, we're hugely saddened by the loss at New Year of my co-presenter, Dr. Mark Goulston. But we hope that you'll appreciate the chance to hear once again one of our Hurt Less, Live More shows in honour of a special friend. Here it is now. Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Hurt Less, Live More with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and Dr. Mark Goulston. And Mark, we have one very special guest with us today, don't we? I think, you know, the listeners kind of know who we are, but we can talk a little bit more about who we are during the show. But I'll let you introduce our guest today.
I'm so glad to have our guest on. Always good to see you, JJ. And our guest today is Pauline Victoria. She was on I have a podcast called My Wake Up Call. And I'll let her share kind of her story, but she was so inspiring in her approach to life, given the challenges she's faced. Pauline, I'll just let you share what I'm talking about, because I'd rather get it from the unicorn's mouth.
Which is, of course, a reference to my unicorn that I always have on my background here when we're recording these things. Yeah.
Well, Pauline is a unicorn. I mean, she is a unicorn. Yeah. She brings hope, inspiration, and kindness into the world. Behind her, she says, gather here with grateful hearts and tell us about you, Pauline.
Thank you, Mark. And just a big quick shout out to both you and JJ for inviting me to be on your podcast. It's always a great honor to have an opportunity to share my story and hopefully add value to the people listening. So for those of you who may not be able to see, or if we are on video and you can't see my full body, I was actually born without arms and legs. And the story of my birth was quite interesting and profound. And so I'll just give you a quick synopsis, Cliff Notes style, of what happened. I was my parents' firstborn child. I was a honeymoon baby. They met in the Air Force. My mom was from the Philippines. She was an immigrant who came here as a naturalized U.S. citizen born in a foreign country. And my father was Minnesota bred. And so you can imagine my mom, Filipino, 4'11", and my father, 6'6", German-Danish background. But they came together, they married fairly quickly and had me soon after. And, you know, when a baby is born, there's so much that else is born than just a life. There's so much hope, there's possibility, there's potential that is born into the world when a new life comes into this planet. And so they had all the excitement and everything showed that everything was going to be great and normal and healthy baby girl. And that was confirmed by tests like ultrasounds and the regular tests they did. However, my mother, they knew I was breached. They could tell that much. And they knew my mother would go into cesarean to give birth to me. And back in the 70s, yes, I'm dating myself, mothers were put under. They weren't kept awake. And so she had no idea what was happening. But as they pulled me out, they discovered that I was missing quite a bit of a quote-unquote normal body. And so because my mother was under anesthesia, they told my father first. And he really was composed and approached it from a very practical sense. And he wanted to be the brave soul to tell my mother when she finally came to. And when she did become conscious, he told her that their little girl didn't have 10 fingers and 10 toes. And the four words that came out of her mouth were, "Thy will be done." And to me, that really set the tone for my life. And even though the doctors came in and really tried to convince my parents to give me up into an institution because they didn't have the resources. They didn't have the skills. They weren't even prepared, you know, in their minds on how to deal with a child with such a severe disability. And at that point, they didn't know the capacity of my brain. So they really were walking into an unknown circumstance. And they, even though logic and rationality said, it's okay, you can give, you have permission to give up your child, they decided to walk in that faith and that hope and love and take me home and see what could happen. And, you know, I think about that and how many times we've been faced in circumstances where it's scary and it's unknown and we're uncertain about what our next step is. And yet we, if we have that faith, if we can harness that faith and that hope, then and take that next step, really awesome. Most oftentimes it's all going to be okay. And I think that's what my birth story really illustrates. And so that's how I came into the world. And as I, you know, my parents raised me the best they could, and they had this beautiful combination of nurture and tough love. And what I mean by that is they really gave me space to figure out what I was capable of, what my potential was. Even if I got angry, even if I threw a temper tantrum, you know, they really held themselves back from stepping in and helping me with, you know, because when we help too much, it can often cut off someone's ability to see what they're really made out of. And so my parents did this beautiful job of loving me with this beautiful nurture, but also giving me space to discover who I was and what I could do, and treated me as fully capable and resourceful.
So can you share with us your becoming aware of who you were and your becoming aware of disabilities and being different? So, can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know I was different, probably until, well, I know it was fifth grade. So up until fifth grade, I was in a mainstream program where they took a group of disabled children and mainstreamed them into regular public school. And so I would go to classes with other classmates that didn't have disabilities, just in a regular public school. But then for like physical therapy or physical education, I would be pulled away into classes that fit my needs more. And so I really was oblivious to my differences, even though I was next to kids who didn't have disabilities, obviously. But then in fifth grade, they felt I was independent enough to be released from that program. And I went to my local public school and I was the only disabled person there. And I don't think that's even what hit me. What hit me that made me realize, oh, I'm different, is they played this film in class, and the intention was good. But it was, you know, how to interact with disabled kids or your classmates. And I remember there was this scene where the disabled girl couldn't put her hand on her heart to say the Pledge of Allegiance here in the US that they did before school started every day. And so the boy next to her put his hand on her heart, and a girl I didn't know yet leaned over and she's like, "Do you want me to put my hand on your heart?" I'm like, "No." And so I think that was the first time it was brought to my attention. I'm like, oh, they're doing this because of me. Yeah. And they made it really awkward, but that was probably my first consciousness of awareness.
Yeah. And just for clarification, for people who don't know the American school system, how old are you when you're in fifth grade?
10 years old.
10 years old. Right. Yeah. Because we don't grade the schools the same way. So people don't kind of get the, you know, how old people are when they talk about these grades here. Yeah. So you'd been through quite a lot until that point, hadn't you? But how wonderful that you were born into a family of so much love and care and who understood that that tough love is really important, isn't it? And
Yeah.
did you feel at any point that you resented the way you were? And you know, did that manifest in any way for you?
Oh, for sure. Definitely as I got older, and as your friends become more independent and you're not, it becomes very, there's a stark difference between where they are and where they're going and where I was. And so, you know, during Friday nights, my friends would be going out, going to parties, you know, driving, and I'm stuck at home watching TV and, you know, with my family, which was great. And at the same time, you get to a certain age where you start trying to get your own identity, not in relation to your family, but who am I in the world as an individual? And I, you know, for me, that was a really tough journey to go through. And it did lead to thoughts of depression and suicide. And, you know, I was probably 15 years old, and other things were coming into my space that were very depressing. And it was just a difficult time, I would say. You know, I think anybody that has gone through feeling outcasted or like they don't belong, then there's a level of emotional and mental challenge that you have to go through in order to persevere through those challenging times. And for me, it was what helped me the most was my faith. Like I said at the beginning, my birth story really set the tone for how I would approach life for the rest of my life. And I don't think my mom knew. I think that was just the way that she dealt with it. But that faith and that hope and that love was transitioned or like passed on maybe by osmosis by being in that environment, and allowed me to know that I was not really, that this world was temporary, and that the things that I was experiencing were for the highest good of everybody. And I remember specifically this one time, I was 15 years old and I was sitting in church. I was, I'm Catholic. And so I was raised, I'm a cradle Catholic. So raised and born and raised and still practice. But I remember sitting in church and just sobbing and wondering, why did you make me this way? I remember feeling really angry, and I had no problems expressing my anger to God and my emotions. I had no guilt about that. But I remember being in that place of like absolute despair. And I was just, you know, asking him, why me? You know, why of all this, at that point, it was probably like 6 point something billion people in the world, of all the 6 billion people in the world, why did you have to make me the way you made me? Because I really, I do believe that, that there were put in certain bodies and circumstances and experiences for a specific purpose. And it is up to me, it was up to me to figure out why, and how to use that. And so I remember sitting there in church, just so angry and so sad, and a peace came over me. And it, the message that I received was, why not you? And that your pain is not in vain. There's a purpose for it. And, you know, it's a lot for a 15-year-old to take in. But it gave me such a peace about my whole circumstance. And it really allowed me to surrender to something bigger than myself. And I think it is that surrender that gave me the ability to just be okay and accept, come to it from to a place of acceptance of my situation. And when we can come to that place, there's nothing to change. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to fix. It is what it is. And then from that point, we're able to build on that foundation and say, okay, now what? Now what is it that I'm being called to do? And what is it that I'm called to be in this world, given this circumstance?
So you had developed a very strong sense of mission and purpose.
Yes. And it wasn't as strong as until I got much older, but I knew that, the message was clear, your pain is not in vain. And so I knew that it wasn't there because I was being outed or because I was, you know, God wanted to hurt me or I was made to suffer more than other people. But really that suffering was there to strengthen me and prepare me for what was to come. And it gave me, and almost, you know, we think of surrender and we think like rest and like just this like feeling in your heart, you just need to like let go. But really what it did is it infused a warrior spirit in me. And it gave me more strength for me to be able to come out stronger to the point where I put myself on purpose into situations that were uncomfortable. And I didn't look at it that way. I mean, I wasn't like purposely going, I'm going to purposely put myself in situations that are uncomfortable. But I was willing to take the risks because I understood that everything works for our highest good and everything is on purpose.
Wow. You know, well, just before we go on, Mark, I think we need to take a quick break, you know, for our commercials here. So before we carry on, and just hold that thought about Pauline's life while we leave you for a couple of minutes just to listen to these messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Hurt Less, Live More, with me, JJ, and Mark Goulston on UK Health Radio. And we have a very special, extraordinary guest today, Pauline Victoria. And just before we went to the break, Mark, you wanted to just mention something or ask Pauline a question. What was that?
Yeah, I wanted to focus on the word surrender. It's interesting, Pauline. I'm surrendering to being inspired by you. And I like the feeling. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
But what I wanted to bring up is, over the years, I've occasionally worked with veterans who were depressed, PTSD, suicidal. And a number of them literally had reached a point where they literally had a gun to their head. And what they said is, God saved me. When I asked them, what do you mean? Even if they weren't religious, when they reached that point where they were going to be gone, I mean, these are military, they know firearms. And what they said is, God, I don't want to die, but I can't take it anymore. And when they said that, they started to cry. And when they started to cry, they just feel this relief, because so much of their makeup was being in control. And if you're in the military, surrender is not a good thing. And yet they're letting go of control and crying. It turned a corner in them. And so afterwards, when people ask them, and if they talk about being suicidal, what made you not do it? They said, God saved me. And really what happened is they found a way to surrender, start crying, and they turned a corner from there. So I just wanted to share that with you, if you can relate to any of that or resonate with any of that.
Absolutely. I believe that control is an illusion. This idea that we're in control, anything could happen. We experience the most out of control globally in the years of COVID. You know, it took the control out of every person's hands. And I think that was a beginning for many people to realize that is control. Do I really have control? Or is it this illusion that I have control? And I believe it's an illusion that can be detrimental when things don't go our way. The reality of it is, if you've been on this planet for any length of time, you're going to run into circumstances that feel out of your control. And that could look like a car accident. That could look like a lost job. That could look like a loss of a loved one. And when we try to hold on so tightly, it's like we choke out what else is possible. And so when we are able to release our grip a little bit and open our hands, what happens, even though it feels like you're releasing control, what you're doing is you're actually opening yourself up to what else is possible. And I think that's what surrender really does. And God saving you, I believe that we have to save ourselves first. God can give us people to speak into our lives. God can give us resources, opportunities. But unless we say yes, all of that it'll just be there and not taken advantage of and realized to its fullest potential. So for me, it was something bigger than myself that was pulling me. And I think that's like the difference, right? Because when we're in control, we're pushing our way. Life has to be done by me. I have to do it. It'll only happen if it comes from me. And when we come from a place where there's something bigger than us, for me, it's God. For others, it might be a dream. For others, it might be a purpose or this, you know, their own wise, intuitive, higher self, whatever it is. But when we come from that place, that's something bigger than the 3D planet that we can touch with our you know, an experience with our five senses. It's something beyond that, those five senses. Then there's a pull. It pulls us toward it, instead of us having to push it. And life is so much easier when we're pulled along rather than having to push with our, you know, force, man-made force of making sure that everything is within our quote unquote control.
I completely resonate with everything that you said there, Pauline. You know, somebody who doesn't identify with any religion, I don't, I don't believe in God the way some people believe in God, I think. But I do absolutely have that notion of just surrendering and just letting go of the control. Because I've also found in my life that when I've tried to control everything, it goes completely haywire, right? So surrendering. And also there's something, isn't there, about just learning to deal with what comes rather than trying to control things so that they are in a way that you've decided you want them to be. There's a very important difference between those two things, isn't there?
Yes. I think what I've become, one of the things I've become a master at is adapting. Yeah. Obviously, I live in a world that's not made for me. So I am constantly in situations where things are not ideal or within my control. And so what that has taught me is to learn to, you know, and I live in Hawaii, but so it sounds cliche, but go with the flow. And, you know, there is a, like, I would say I'm a type A personality. So I do like, I'm a planner. I like things on my calendar. There's certain things that that make me feel comfortable. Structure makes me feel comfortable. And I also understand that at any moment, things could show up differently. And how do I adapt? How do I move through those changes? And change is guaranteed in life. So even though I would prefer to be able to control everything, and I think, you know, I feel privileged to be able to have that space to be able to do a lot of that, I also am willing to shift and see things differently in order to not make myself crazy. It really, that's what it is. It's being able to move through situations that aren't, you know, ideally in my favor and say, okay, what could I learn from here? What could I contribute here? Where do I need to change? And oftentimes those situations give us space to experience a different aspect of who we are.
You know, you mentioned another word. So just as we wanted you to talk a little bit about surrender, you mentioned the word adapt. And I think a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people I know, oh, I need to adapt, but I don't know how to. So can you share from your point of view what that means and how one does it? Because a lot of people know it in their head, but they just can't make it happen.
Yeah. So, just referencing what I think all of us can relate to was COVID, right? And COVID created parameters upon which we had to now operate that were stricter than we may have liked, right? Before we had this illusion of control and freedom and, you know, all these different things that we were enjoying. And yet, something happened that was out of our control, an unforeseen circumstance, and some people were crushed by it and couldn't see their way out, developed anxiety, developed a lot of mental health issues that came up because they were dealing with the loss of control and loss of freedom. And then there were some of us that said, okay, now what? What else can I do here within these new parameters? What else can I, how else can I express myself? How else can I have connection? How else can I contribute. And that's what I did. Actually, that's where I was able to really get my business, getting momentum within my business, was from COVID. And not that I want to go through that again, universe, God, please don't, let's not do that again, please. But at the same time, because I am used to adapting or looking at change with fresh eyes, I was able to pivot and say, okay, I was able to see problems, where the problems would arise, and see where I could help out. So I knew that there was going to be a disconnect. People were going to feel isolated. And I know as humans, we were never meant to be disconnected. We thrive when we're connected. And so I created for the disability community a community where we talked every Saturday on Zoom to come together and just talk about what was happening in our lives without having to explain who we were, or, you know, just come as you are and have a space where you feel safe and you feel accepted, and we can talk and help each other out. And people were coming and saying, this saved my life through COVID. And so that's a real life example of how something wasn't necessarily in our favor, but I was able to find a way to move around it and also contribute even more into the world. So I think that's hopefully that explains what adapt means.
So I want to ask you something, and then I'm going to pivot to JJ. JJ says, okay, Mark, here you go again.
Here we go.
Part of the message that you were sharing about this community, this Saturday meeting, and some people say it saved their lives, is coming together and just sharing without an agenda. We don't have an agenda other than we're going to meet and we're committed to each other. I know that part of what JJ and I have spoken about is how in your life, JJ, you're wanting to realize the power of just sharing, mm-hmm. of your just sharing, just being your authentic self, and, you know, having a voice as opposed to being a reporter or a journalist. So I'm wondering what you think about this notion of just being more spontaneous, more sharing, less scripted. What's your take on that, JJ?
Well, I will tell you my take on that right after we've heard some more messages from our station sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you are listening to Hurt Less, Live More on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, Dr. Mark Goulston, and Pauline Victoria, our very special guest here today. And just before the break, Mark asked me about being more spontaneous, about showing up and using, using my voice more. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's fascinating that part of my journey has very much been to push myself out of that comfort zone. I guess I was thinking about this earlier today. I guess for a lot of my life, I've been quite passive in the sense of, you know, I got a job, I had a career, but it was all kind of passive. It was, you know, I was just kind of ticking along. I never had the challenges that Pauline had in life, right? I had other challenges, but nothing quite as really all consuming it must have been, Pauline, for you, for obvious reasons. So, but it is interesting how when I think of this, yes, I want to get more of me out there, but I also want to support other people, get more of them out into the world. And there's so much power in sharing a story, sharing our own personal experiences. And think of the power in what Pauline's just been talking about. It's so hugely, immensely powerful. Because let's face it, if Pauline can get where she is today, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about where that is today, Pauline, then, you know, you and I, Mark, I mean, you know, we have no excuse, right? No excuse whatsoever. So, yeah, it's tricky, though, for a lot of us. It's tricky because of the conditioning. I notice with Pauline, she said that her family were very open and they were very welcoming and loving right from the get-go, right? They gave you so much support, Pauline, and I think that counts for an awful lot. And a lot of people don't have that early support. Maybe they have some kind of support. Mark and I have talked about this before, but it's not the kind of support that really, you know, gives you that leg up, as it were. And it sounds like that you had that, which is wonderful. So, yeah, I think it's so powerful. It's so really, it's what we all need to be doing more. We need to be sharing more and we need to be talking more about how we are, where we are, and how we feel. Not how much money we've earned, what we're doing at work, you know, any of those things, but how are we feeling about life day to day and how are we getting through it? I think that's so important.
You know, you're saying something, JJ, and I'm reading between the words as you were talking about Pauline's parents and the unconditionality versus conditionality.
Yeah.
It wasn't about feeling sorry for themselves or for Pauline. And yet there was tough love, but there was an unconditional belief in her and positivity. And what I'm picking up from you, JJ, is, you know, thinking, geez, I wonder what my life would have been like if I had been immersed in an unconditional kind of support.
Yeah.
I mean, my growing up had a fair amount of conditional support, which, you know, you go along with, but inside you can develop a resentment. You're you're reacting to it. You know, you want to have your own voice, but if you have conditional support, meaning don't be you, be what we want you to be. You know, so I don't know if that's accurate what I'm saying, but I think as Pauline was describing her parents and just her birth, what her dad's response was, and then I'm just picturing your mom waking up, and then his being supportive of both her and you. It'd be amazing how we could feel in our lives if that's how that was the start we got. So is that accurate what I said, JJ? And then we'll get back to.
No, absolutely. You know, you can tell that you're a seasoned psychiatrist who can read between the lines when people are speaking. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I was thinking about that this very morning, because I did interview somebody recently who again had the right, you know, support for them, you know? So, yeah, Pauline, it just seems that you were born into this family where you had what you needed.
Yeah. And I recognize that. I recognize that, you know, could I have been different had they said, yeah, let's just put her in an institution.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of parents who chose that path and gave their kids up into an institution. So it would be interesting to find those people and see where they were at. You know, I do recognize that that plays a huge part in laying the foundation of a person. And that as we get older, we can recognize where things failed us or where people failed us or, you know, if I had only had, you know, and I would encourage, you know, the if world can become a dangerous place. Because I could say, well, what if I had arms and legs? You know, how much more could I have done in this world? How much more trouble could I have gotten in this world? Right. So like there's always the other side of it. So would my life have been easier because I, you know, had independence? And it's an interesting thing. I've had several people ask me if technology had the ability to give you like bionic arms and legs. You know, there was a show back in the 80s.
Yeah, the Bionic Man.
Bionic Man, Bionic Woman. $6 million man. Yeah. So, you know, would I take that opportunity? And would it make my day-to-day life easier? Absolutely. I wouldn't have to rely on somebody else to help me with my daily living needs. I wouldn't have to have a car outfitted for me that costs the amount of a house. You know, I wouldn't have to have a wheelchair that costs the amount of a car. You know, like, so yes, life would be easier. And yet, would I be able to fulfill the purpose that I know I was created for, specifically created for? And you know, the idea of sharing stories, one of my absolute favorite things to do, which is why I have my own podcast, is to have deep, meaningful conversations with people to bring out their stories and their brilliance, because in each person's story, we can also see our story. And it gives us a platform for us to see how more connected and like we are than not, regardless of, you know, the places we come from or the experiences we've had. At the core of us, each of us long for the same things. But the journey getting there may look different. But it is in the journey that those lessons are learned. The transformation is complete. And I think that's where, you know, where we can move from the bringing us full circle, the if world, to the surrender and acceptance world.
So I know our listeners love to be inspired. The title of this show is Hurt Less, Live More. So if you are listening in, what my takeaways are from Pauline is the power of having unconditional love and support from a parent. And you might want to ask yourself, yes, you're stressed, but are you giving the people you love, the children you love, the teenagers who are stressed out and acting out, by the way, are you giving them unconditional love, or are you being conditional? And might that be hurting the people you love and yourself? And then the other takeaway, and then JJ, I would like you to weigh in. The other takeaway that I got is that if you can pivot from pain into purpose, if you, yes, you don't want the pain. Yes, you don't want to have been disabled. But rather than just staying stuck in that, if you can turn it into a purpose, you know, why was this done to me? What can I do with it? It's a pretty good way to deal with pain, even though initially what you may want is relief. I think the longer lasting relief maybe comes from finding that purpose like Pauline has. What are some takeaways you're getting, JJ?
Well, similar to you, and I would say alongside conditional love, transactional love, because a lot of parents are pretty transactional in their dealings with their children. So, yeah, it is that unconditional love. And, you know, if you don't find it within your family, a lot of people are lucky enough to find it outside the family. And, you know, they can find unconditional love elsewhere. But it really is the thing that buoys you up, that keeps you feeling safe. Safety is so important. So that is another issue there. And yes, you know, how, if you have children, I don't, but if you have children, how are you relating to them? And you can see that in the way that they relate to you as well. It doesn't, you know, we don't all need to have the same disabilities, but we all have our issues. And I think to see how Pauline has come through with that purpose, absolutely right. I think that's key to us overcoming those hurts and overcoming those setbacks and disabilities, is knowing that we have a purpose in life. Far too often, people think that they're not worthy, that they're just worthless, and they're just, what are they here for? Might as well, you know, they might as well just disappear because there's no point in being here. But there is a point, isn't there? Yeah.
Absolutely. You're not a parent, and I know Pauline is, and I know, JJ, you mentioned that our audience likes some tips, and I'm doing a program with a friend of mine whose 14-year-old son died by suicide 5 years ago, and he has a video out called What I Wish My Parents Knew, because it's what he wished he'd known, but he was too late. And in our presentations, one of the things we talk about, and what you see in the video, is 10 teenagers just being calm, vulnerable. And what I point out to parents before they see the video is write down these five words: complaining, blaming, excuses, threats, moody. Complaining, blaming, excuses, threats, moody. Because when teenagers act that way, which is a lot of the way they act, it triggers in parents the inability to be empathic or unconditional. And what these teenagers talked about is, well, I never told my parents about my low point. I couldn't. And it's because these teenagers did not realize they were triggering their parents to be unempathic by complaining, blaming, excuses, threats, and moodiness. And I think when parents see these teenagers in What I Wish My Parents Knew, they just say, oh my God, that's what's going on underneath. And so I just wanted to share that with you. If you're listening in and you have children, try to get beyond your reactions so that you can really connect with your unconditional love, and it's going to be okay to your child, no matter what they're feeling.
I love it. And that's a hugely powerful film as well, Mark. What I Wish My Parents Knew. It brought me to tears on a couple of occasions. So I do recommend it. But yeah, we only have about 4 or 5 minutes left. And I just want to hear more from Pauline about where you are right now, Pauline. You know, where are you? I was going to say, what have you achieved? But hey, let's not talk about that, right? You've achieved so much in your life. Where are you now? And what are you doing as part of your mission here?
Well, you know, that's an interesting word, achieve. And thank you for saying that. Like, we should be talking more about how we feel and what we think versus what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because I think at the core of what we're doing is what we're thinking and what we're feeling. It controls everything from there. And for me, just a quick fast forward, you know, I feel like a lot of the things that I have been able to quote unquote achieve were, you know, from a place of this desire to know that I was worthy, that I could accomplish what I want, that I could have the life that I wanted, not what I was told I could have. If I was relying on everything that someone told me I could have, oh my gosh, I think my life would be a very, very sad place, because they're limited by what's possible for them. And oftentimes throughout my whole life, I have had to believe something before I could see it, rather than see it to believe it, because it didn't exist before. I don't have a mentor. I don't have a role model. I don't have an instruction manual on how to live life like this. So it really had to come from someplace internal. And, you know, so for me, it's like my big things is like, I learned to swim. I learned to drive. I learned to live independently. I got married. I had, I helped raise 4 stepchildren. I had my own son, biological birth, you know. Those are such ordinary things, and yet so extraordinary in my life, because I don't think anyone could have fathomed. If they looked at me, they wouldn't think. And I've had people say, I've had my daughter who's 13 years old, or my stepdaughter who was 13 years older than my son. And they would ask me, oh, is that your son or her son? And because people can't fathom that I could have a son, I'm like, oh, it's mine. and so you know, in the interactions that I have with people every day, they reveal to me their limitations of what they think is possible. And I think if I were to choose the one thing that I can say I'm most proud of to fulfill my mission, is I give people space to explore what else is possible for them in their lives, because they can see I've surpassed their limitations and limiting beliefs. And, you know, one of the things that I have always struggled with is that you're not good enough. And, you know, just piggybacking on what you all said, and I know our time is running short, but I just feel compelled to share this. You know, I did have a very loving, unconditional space, and yet there were conditions put on me. You know, when I was 4 years old, I was put in a hospital to be trained on how to use prosthetic arms and legs. And that 4-year-old girl wondered, what's wrong with me that you have to change me? Mm-hmm. Why is my body wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the intention was good. The intention was out of love, but the consequences. So even when we are fully feeling like we're conditional, I have no conditions on you. I love you no matter what. Society and other things will come in, and out of good intentions, parents will unknowingly put conditions on their children. So I think, yes, I did come from a very supportive family. And yet there were things that I had to battle through as a young, you know, now as an adult, I'm able to go back and go, where did you're not good enough come from? And see and realize, oh my gosh, it was that memory, and I had to do my own work to get there.
So I
think we all have our things, and we all have possibility and potential that lives within each of us.
We absolutely do. And I have to say that you're an inspiration. We're at the end of our show. That's it. No time for any more chat. Thank you so, so much, Pauline, for coming on our show. Mark, very quick final word.
Yeah, here's a book title for you, Pauline. Hands-Free Wisdom.
I love it. Thank you.
You just overflow with it. I mean.
Yeah. Do it. Write it. Yeah.
Do it.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so, so much. Mark and I have been absolutely mesmerized by hearing you speak. And I'm sure that our listeners will have done as well. So, Pauline, thank you so much. And this is the end of our show. Join us the next time here on Hurt Less, Live More on UK Health Radio. And remember, you can also catch us on the UK Health Radio podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. So hopefully you'll join us there. But if not, join us right here again on UK Health Radio next time. Thank you so much.